Adversity's on its way, baby girl. How you face it, how you deal with it, how you attack it determines the outcome on the other side.
Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show.
What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo and a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.
One of my favorite Stoic quotes of all is, adversity introduces a man to his highest self. Hey guys, my name is Bedros Koulian. Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show. Today we're going to talk about adversity, hardship, and how adversity and hardship will actually introduce you to your highest self. Well, first off, what is the highest self? Who is the highest self? I believe that when we are all born, we are our lowest self. We are human animals. And we are human animals because we have to be impulsive. We have to be loud. We have to be selfish. We have to be, well, we have to be greedy. And all of those things are necessary when you're a baby and a child to survive, right? The problem is there's no owner's manual that came with you that says, hey, you can go from being a human animal who's needy, emotional, greedy, impulsive, selfish, to being a human being, a transcended human being that's connected to consciousness, to your higher self, because there's always a higher self. You've done things in life where you're like, you know what? I'm really proud of myself. I helped that little old lady across the street. That is my higher self that did that. Or you know what? I was about to walk into that restaurant, but I held the door open for this family to come through. That is my higher self that done that. But what happens when you're angry, frustrated, upset, emotional? You reduce yourself down to your lowest self, right? Now, what if you could have such emotional resilience, such mental toughness, that when the poop hits the fan, you're emotional, angry, frustrated, upset, that you are still operating out of higher self instead of reducing yourself down to the human animal that is, well, attacking, that is saying things that they're going to later regret, that is cutting with their words. And in fact, someone who is really looked down upon by society. Let's just be honest, right? Like when we see someone who is like that, gossipy, selfish, greedy, impulsive, we just look down on them. We're like, these are peasants. These are human animals. They're the unwashed masses because they took no time to develop self-mastery. They took no effort in becoming the 2.0 versions of themselves. And so what is one of the best ways to become your highest self? Like, what is that Stoic quote that adversity introduces a man to them, to their highest self? Why is that? Well, because in adversity, especially adversity that is consistent, you will begin to develop emotional resilience. You will begin to almost callous your mind against hardship and understand that hardship is inevitable. You know, in Viktor Frankl's book, he talks about how you can become your higher self, you can control the controllables in your life, and you have to just cope with the things you can't control, and you have to concentrate on what counts. Viktor Frankl was in a concentration camp. He was in a Nazi concentration camp when he and his wife and their Jews got put into the concentration camp. Within like 2 months, his wife was killed. And he went on to survive the concentration camps and write his book. And it's so important to understand the adversity that he had to suffer through, which was externally given to him, right? By the Nazis, forged his mind, helped him build resilience, and he later came out and as a psychologist served humanity, not only with his patients that he worked with, but also throughout his writings, his books. And I share that with you because you could either wait for hardship and adversity to hit you, and then you're gonna go, oh shit, I don't know what to do. You're gonna panic, you're gonna freak out, you're gonna reduce yourself down to your lowest self as a human animal, or you could start introducing hardship into your life, right? It is deliberate, intentional structuring of hardship so that you can begin to callous your mind and develop mental and emotional resiliency. And so how do we do that? I just want to share how I do this in my life. And I want to give you examples of how it's helped me. You know, like David Goggins says, you know, at the end of every caption that he writes and every video he makes, he says, stay hard, right? And while it's two simple words, I think oftentimes it gets overlooked. Like, there probably, we could all agree that there probably aren't a lot of things that could stress out David Goggins, right? Let's just be honest. Because he does so many hard things, from long distant running, like 100 miles, 200 miles, to doing like breaking the pull-up record, to just listening to the same song over and over again for hours doing sit-ups. The dude has developed such a routine, such a structured program of hardship and adversity that he's baked into his life that he doesn't give two shits what pandemic comes, what government economic conditions come. He doesn't care if the inflation rate is through the roof or if interest rates are through the roof, if gas prices are blowing up, because David Goggins has absolute mastery of self. Hence the term self-mastery, right? Which is what we talk about here. This entire show is about self-mastery. It's about getting jacked, making money, being emotionally disciplined, having a structured life routine, having a morning routine that sets you up to win the day. You win the day, you win the week, you win the week, you win the month, you win the month, you win the years, right? It is about being a servant and a savage when necessary. It is about being a protector and a provider. This show is about becoming that highest level, sovereign, self-mastered man. Well, how do you get there? You can't just wait for adversity to happen to you, because when it does, you're gonna reduce yourself down to your lowest self. Instead, you have to bake in adversity. So if we know that the term stay hard, that David Goggins says, what he means is mentally hard, emotionally hard. Be so fortified that nothing can penetrate you. Then you have won life when the inevitable hardship happens. You guys watching my show, you know that several weeks ago, my mom died, right? My mom had Alzheimer's for the last 7 years. And several weeks ago, she died. Now, while she was in this like last 3 months of her life, I also tore my tricep off the bone. And for me, working out is as important as the time when I would see Kevin, my therapist. Like, working out is not just physical for me. I don't just go into the gym to get jacked, build muscle, and be strong. I go into the gym to deal with my demons. I go into the gym to show myself what I'm capable of every morning. I go into the gym and I go to battle. I go to war with the weights. I go to war with the inner bitch in my head. I go to war with the critic that is negotiating his way out of the gym, right? And I make sure that the advocate, inner advocate, always wins. I go to the gym for the way it makes me feel. The byproduct of being jacked and lean and muscular and strong is just a happy benefit for me. I need you to understand that. And so if I can't go to the gym and work out like I want, it will start wearing away at my mindset. It will start putting me in a funk. So you add a torn tricep and a mother who's on her last 90 days, when the doctor's like, well, you guys got to bring in home hospice. She's got anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 months to live, right? By the way, that's quite the big window. Like, if doctors out there, if you're a medical doctor and you're watching this, you're watching my show, can you guys somehow figure out, like, it's 2023, have we figured out how we can maybe narrow that fucking window down when you tell a family member that this person has 2 weeks to 2 years to live? Holy crap, man. Like, what do you do with that? And what I love about human resiliency, the human spirit, is the people that have this positive mental attitude, the people that are just optimistic about life, the people that vibrate at the highest levels, those people go, well, fuck you, doc. You say I've got 2 months to live? They end up living like 20 more years, right? How does that happen? Haven't you guys figured it out as doctors? Can you guys put some fucking research into that? Can Moderna and Pfizer put some research into that instead of constantly trying to put this fucking bullshit in your body? I digress. So then, why do we need hardship? because I can tell you from firsthand experience, had I not constantly put myself through hardship, every Sunday, I put myself through hardship, what I call a mini masogi. And I'm going to get to what a masogi is. And then once a year, I do Suckfest. And some of you watching this know what Suckfest is. Most of you watching this or listening to this don't know what Suckfest is. I'm going to explain. But imagine you tear your tricep and you need to work out and you're like, shit, I'm going to have to go in the gym and modify my workouts. I can't go gorilla mode anymore in the gym. So I got to take like 20-pound dumbbells and do like 100 side laterals to do shoulders because I've got no tricep, right? Thankfully, I'm starting to build it all back up. But I have to modify my shit so that I can get the mental benefit of working out all while my mom is dying. And then boom, she dies, right? I share that with you because if I didn't have my mini masogis on Sundays that I do, and if I didn't have my annual Suckfest, I would not have built the calloused mind and the emotional and mental resiliency needed for me to push through a torn tricep and a dying mom at the same time, all while trying to run my companies, serve my people, keep pumping out this show. Y'all never missed a fucking episode of the BK show, not once. I would agree that maybe a couple of them were low energy, low tone, and my eyes were sunken because I'd sit in my car after the gym as I'm driving back to HQ here, and I'd just fucking cry thinking about my mom passing away in my hands. But then I'd suck it up, compartmentalize, and go to battle at work. Listen, I stopped taking all of those and I started taking this, the Trulene Wellness Shot. In fact, I created this because I was sick and tired of every morning taking 11 different supplements like turmeric, ginger, cayenne pepper, black pepper, vitamin B12, echinacea, vitamin C, zinc, right? Think about this. If you want to improve your immune system, if you want to fight off inflammation in your body so that you have better gut health, you have more energy, your joints don't hurt, then you're going to want to take all those supplements. And I was taking it twice a day, every day. And so when we created the Trulene Wellness Shot, we cut no corners and we spared no expense. And so in this, you've got something that's going to not only help boost your immune system, but also fight off inflammation. Because if you're a high performer and if you want to get more done, if you want to stay more focused, if you want to make sure that you don't get sick as frequently, then you have to care about your immune system and you have to fight off inflammation, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're high performing and you have a stressful work day from time to time, right? And so here's what I want you to do. You're going to click on the link in the description box or go to trulene.com and you're going to use the code word Bedros. And when you use my name, Bedros, you'll get 50% off your first subscribe and save bundle. For whatever reason, you don't like the Trulene Wellness Shot, which I have yet to meet anyone who doesn't, then let us know in your first 30 days. We'll give you a full refund, part ways as friends. Fair enough? Go check it out. Use the code word Bedros. Get 50% off. Peace. I did the same thing when the pandemic hit. Keep in mind, Fit Body Bootcamp, my biggest company, Fit Body Bootcamp, is an international fitness franchise. We are gyms that are worldwide. And the pandemic of 2020 did not do us or all gyms any good. It didn't. If you remember, they were telling gyms that you got to be shut down. Well, we lost 218 franchise locations in a 10-month period from March 16th to the end of the year of 2020. How do you think that impacted me, the pandemic? Do you think that that started to erode my confidence? Do you think it began to destroy my identity? Do you think that I may have started to panic and freak out when we went through the PPP money and then we went through the EDIL loans and when I sold my rental home properties so that I could keep funding Fit Body Bootcamp, keep my employees employed while we weren't selling a single franchise location? We went from selling 6 to 8 locations a month, new locations, to selling exactly zero and losing 218 locations in a 10-month period. Like, that is financially damaging. That is damaging to your ego. That is damaging to your reputation. That is damaging across the board. And what did I do? I relied on my ability to stay resilient, to compartmentalize, to be mentally tough, and to continue to stay the course, to become the virus against the virus. That's exactly how I looked at it. To me, I was the virus against the coronavirus. And I was like, this fucking virus has to wear a mask when I come around. Each time I would go on Fox News talking about how this opposition, big government, pharma, military-industrial complex, mainstream media, the giant food corporations that are poisoning you with their processed bullshit. They are the opposition. Every time I'd go on Fox News during the pandemic and I'd talk out against them, and I would say, go back to the gyms. If you're a gym, open up your gym, keep training people, because we know that the immune system builds when you are working out. We know that the immune system builds when you're getting sunlight. We know that the immune system builds when you are within a community of people. And what did they do? They did everything they could to tear us apart from each other, to isolate us in our homes, to shut gyms down, to not give you access to parks and beaches. What the fuck is that? A giant beach you can't have access to? You can go to Walmart and lick doorknobs as long as you're 6 feet away from each other? But you can't go to the beach and run and do some push-ups and pull-ups and get some sunlight? Are you fucking kidding me? The opposition wanted to keep you weak. The opposition wanted you to get you in debt. The opposition wanted you to be broke. And y'all went with it because you hadn't built any kind of mental or emotional resiliency. But I knew that it is inevitable for a human to have adversity in their life. I know that some point, mom's going to get Alzheimer's. Someone's going to get cancer. Someone might get a divorce. Somebody might get into a car accident. Some business might end up exploding or a lawsuit might happen. Like, I realize all these things are a possibility of life. And if I am not prepared emotionally and mentally to be able to go to battle against these things, what am I going to do with all the responsibility I have? Shrivel up and die? And tell all my team members and employees, peace out. Sorry, I'm just a fair weather leader. I can't lead in battle. I can't lead in winter. Tony Robbins says, you know, always prepare because winter's coming. And he's so right. You've got to always be prepared because winter's coming. Anybody can succeed in life when it's summer and spring, when the weather's perfect, right? Metaphorically, like when times are good, when everything's going your way, the economy's awesome, you can't go wrong, whatever you fucking do, where you put your money, Bitcoin's growing, fucking real estate's growing, stock market's growing. Hell, you take a poop and someone wants to bottle it up and buy it from you. Well, that's summertime. What happens when it's wintertime and the economy fails and Bitcoin crashes and the stock market's going away and now you got Israel and Hamas at war with Palestine and you've got Ukraine getting all this bribery? Wait, what did I say? I thought we were just financially supporting Ukraine. We are bribing Zelensky to stay at war because for every 100 million and 100 billion that he gets, make no mistake about it, money gets laundered back into the pockets of those politicians. From the guy, the hair sniffing, ice cream licking, incoherent old man at the top, to the very lowest senator, congressman, who's supposed to be making $172,000 a year, but somehow they end up leaving Congress and the Senate as millionaires. How the fuck does that happen? Because money is being laundered back. The reason your tax dollars are going elsewhere is because it is then being laundered back. They keep 10% to fight their war, 90% gets laundered and comes back. But we're not here for that. We're here to talk about resiliency and callousing your mind. But I'm here to tell you that when these things happen, the inevitable hardships of life happen. My friend Jason Redman, a retired Navy SEAL, good friend of mine, now currently a business partner, he says, in fact, if you haven't read his book, things like the Memoirs of a Navy SEAL Leader, highly recommend it. And his other second book is Overcome. Just go follow Jason Redman on Instagram. You'll find him. Go read his book. Both New York Times bestsellers. But Jason Redman, in his book, he talks about how they were on a mission in 2007 in Iraq. He and his unit of SEALs. And as they're going to attack this house of a dude who's a bomb maker, all of a sudden, machine guns light up. And they realize they just found themselves on an ambush. They are the predators. They're gonna go kill or capture the bad guy, but all of a sudden, machine guns from this heavy, shrubbery, bushy area light up. And Jason gets zipped across the body. He gets shot in the arm. And a bullet goes right through his cheekbone, blowing out his orbital plate, his eye socket, and his nose. they had to have 38 or 39 surgeries to piece him back together over a couple of years. You know what Jason told me? He said, there we were. We are the force to be reckoned with. We are the predators. We are there to go kill the bad guy who is putting roadside bombs and killing American military men and women. Yet in that moment, he goes, I found myself on the X. I found myself and my team in that ambush. And in that moment, we had to fight for our lives. He goes, thank God we get the training that we get as SEALs. Thank God they build our minds, they build our spirits, and they give us the physical and mental skill sets that we need to be able to get ourselves out of that ambush. And they did, and they saved Jason's life. Could you imagine if they're like, well, the only time we're Navy SEALs is when things go right and we can kill the bad guy when they never put up a fight. But if they put up a fight, fuck it, we're dead, right? Like Jason would have been dead right there in Iraq. And I share this with you because you have to constantly callous up your body and mind and your spirit. So how do you do it? Well, I told you about Masogi and I told you about Suckfest. So let's talk about it. Masogi is a Japanese word for purification through adversity. All right, so think about that, purification through adversity. And in the Japanese culture, those who do Masogi typically do it towards the end of the year, sometime in the month of December. They might go stand for 4 hours under a heavy waterfall and just cold, heavy waterfall. They're standing under there and they go into that other room. Remember the quote that I said, adversity introduces a man to his highest self? Well, when you are dealing with adversity for a prolonged period of time, manufactured adversity, adversity that you manufactured. So imagine a waterfall for 4 hours pounding on you and you just begin to meditate. And I imagine the first hour you're like, fuck, this is cold. Fuck, this hurts. Fuck, I don't want to be here. But all of a sudden, you begin to just go away mentally. And now it's just your body, the vessel, getting beat up. But you have entered the other room. In the other room lives your highest self. And the highest self now can get purified. You can start setting new intentions for the new year. This is what the Japanese do with the Masogi, is they put themselves through some level of hardship and adversity for a prolonged period of time at the end of a year, to set their intentions, to purify themselves and set their intentions and expectations and their resolutions, for lack of a better word, for the upcoming year, right? So I was like, well, dude, I'm gonna do that. Why do it every year? What if I could do that every weekend? So every Sunday that I'm home and I'm not out in the world speaking at events, every Sunday is leg day for me. And if you've seen pictures of me on Instagram, my quads and hamstrings, I'm built like a fucking Clydesdale. I've got thick legs. It's probably the Armenian genetics, right? And so it takes a long amount of time for me to beat up my legs. I go through a 2-hour workout, squats, walking lunges, hack squats, leg press, stiff-legged deadlifts, hamstring curls. Ironically, I rarely do leg extensions. And then I'll do sled pushes, right? To really exhaust my legs. So after 2 hours of training and pounding legs, then I'll go to the eucalyptus loop, which is the 3-mile hike that we put our project candidates through. It has 6 hills, 3 hills going there and the same 3 hills coming back. So you're doing 6 hills in total over 3 miles. It takes about an hour to do if you're hiking at a fast pace. So it takes me, I do this Sunday Masogi where I beat up my legs to the point of like exhaustion, to the point where I can taste that metallic taste in my mouth, where I'm just sweating profusely. And then I just have recovery time from driving from my gym to the eucalyptus loop, 10 to 15 minutes of recovery time as I drink a protein shake, and then I'm pounding my legs on that hike. To me, that is a mini Masogi. During that 3.5, almost 4-hour period, I go to a place in my head where I solve a lot of my problems. I realize not a lot of people are willing to do this every Sunday, to punish themselves this way, to intentionally bake in adversity and hardship into their life every Sunday, so that when the inevitable, not possible, inevitable hardship comes this coming week, as an entrepreneur, I know that something is gonna go wrong somewhere in my business or with someone. It's inevitable, just like life. Somewhere, something in your life is gonna go wrong sometime. Don't you wanna be prepared for it? Or do you want to be surprise attacked and be like, fuck, I don't know how to handle hardship. I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to curl up into the fetal position, suck my thumb and cry. Right? But as a man, if you constantly put yourself through hardship every week, so I call it my mini misogi, about 3.5 hours of hardship, where I get to go to that other room in my head and have these conversations with myself, solve my problems, my weekly problems, prepare, get battle hardened mentally for the upcoming week. Don't you think that whatever problem comes up, I'm gonna be like, shit, man, if I survived yesterday's leg workout and hike, I got this, right? Because I know I'm doing something that less than 1% of society does. And that means whatever hardship comes in the following week, I'm part of the 1% that can push through it, that can solve through it, that can come out resilient on the other side. So that is what a mini misogi is. And I don't care if your mini misogi is a leg workout followed by a 3-mile hike that's, you know, full of hills. I don't care if you're just doing standing under a waterfall, you're doing a fucking, maybe every hour on the hour for 10 hours, you're going into an ice bath for 3 minutes at a time during one day of the week. But put yourself through a mini misogi, something so uncomfortable, something so challenging, something that creates such adversity where you can calm your nerves, you can control your thoughts, you can enter that other room, become your highest self, connect with consciousness, and go, I got this shit, right? And here's what all these mini misogis that I do every week stack up to be. Once a year, I do Suckfest. And so this year, the Suckfest, I believe it's on December 9th. You guys are welcome to do it with me wherever you live. Don't come out to Chino Hills and do it with me. I'm going to do it by myself. You guys are welcome to do it with me on December 9th, wherever you live. Here's how Suckfest works. There's no preparation that I do for it because I believe in staying prepared by constantly, you know, doing my mini misogis every week. And then working out every morning, and I go to the park and do my 3-mile walk hike, right? You guys have heard me talk about that. Well, what Suckfest is, in December, as I'm setting my intentions for the new year, December 9th, I've got a workshop happening here at HQ. And so I'll wake up, get my morning workout in, come to the workshop. It's the $100,000 coaching day with my clients. I'll work all day with my coaching clients. And then just as the sun starts going down, I always check my clock and see when the sun is going down, I put on my track shoes and I start hiking all of Chino Hills until sun up. So basically I'm awake for 24 hours and from sundown to sun up, I am hiking. And I typically get 35 to 40 miles in through the night, right? And Chino Hills, well, it's in the name, hills. There's a lot of fucking hills in Chino Hills. And so within 3 hours of this hike, because it's like a 12, 13 hour hike through the middle of the night, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm exhausted. I've worked all day. I want rest, but instead I'm hiking and hiking and hiking, and I've set up food like bananas and juices and stuff at BK Strength and at my house. Those are the 2 points. And I'm just doing big giant 5-mile circles until I see the sun come up at around, usually it's around 6:05, 6:06 when it's like early December, which is really fucking cool, man. Imagine that. I'm like, motherfucker, the sun's going down right now. I'm about to start. In a few hours, I'm going to have blisters on my feet. A couple hours after that, it's going to be 10, 11 o'clock at night. All of Chino Hills is going to be asleep. Every motherfucker is going to be asleep, comfy in their bed, relaxed, dreaming, drooling out the side of their mouth. I'm going to be walking in the cold weather here in Chino Hills, putting in the miles, stacking up 30, 35, 40 miles when the sun comes up. I will be awake before they even wake up. I will have racked up 35 to 40 miles before they even wake up. Imagine the level of fucking confidence that gives you, the level of fucking savagery that builds in you, and the calluses and the blisters and the knee pain and the hip pain and the neck pain. Like, you don't realize that you use your shoulders to fucking hike. You use every fucking body part. And every year, a few toenails fall off after I do Suckfest. And guess what? During that 13-hour night, during those almost 40 hours that I'll rack up, I solve so many fucking problems. I cheer myself on so much. Me and my inner advocate absolutely destroy my inner bitch. Just fucking cut him up into pieces, put him in an ice bath or an acid bath, I should say, and he just dissolves away. And I'm like, fuck, man, I'm going into a new year like a savage. And if that new year brings another torn tricep, God forbid a family member dies or another pandemic happens, I'm ready for it because I am the fucking pandemic. I am the virus. I am the thing that they should be worried about. That is what adversity structured into your life gifts you. It is a gift. Now, I also understand it is very comfortable and convenient to stay home, cuddled up on a couch, not work out. You were tired today. You had to make some tough decisions. I get it. You had to make some tough decisions. There was traffic driving home. There was a car accident and you were 10 minutes late. And when you went onto your Uber Eats and your DoorDash and you ordered your fucking Jolly Burger, it took an extra 15 minutes to arrive. And that was triggering. That was frustrating for you, wasn't it? Like, I know life is hard, isn't it, pumpkin? But the reality is this. If you just went out and bought that fucking burger, if you just went out and did some hard shit, if you constantly put in the miles, you will become one hard motherfucker. And as David Goggins says, you will stay hard when everyone else is soft. And guys, I'm not here to shit on you about this. I am not looking to shit on you. I'm here to tell you that the inevitable hardship is coming. Something's going to go wrong in your life. You're going to break a bone. You're going to tear a muscle. Mom or dad or someone's going to die. Someone's going to get divorced. Someone's going to get in a car accident. Economy's going to get all fucked up. You're going to have lose a lot of money in some stupid bullshit crypto scam that you invested in. Whatever your fucking thing is, adversity's on its way, baby girl. How you face it, how you deal with it, how you attack it determines the outcome on the other side. And you know what else it does? If you're a man who's married, if you're a man who's got kids, if you're a man who's got employees who count on you, they look at you when you're fucking steadfast and cool as a cucumber and they're like, this motherfucker's a killer. I got some of the best compliments as I helped usher Fit Body Bootcamp, our franchise, through the pandemic over those 10 months from my team, the people I look up to, the people who look up to me, the people who were watching, my peers out there in the world with the blue check marks who speak on stages with me. We're like, bro, you fucking handle that like a champ. Let me tell you, nobody wanted to own a franchise chain of gyms in 2020. I was like, I got this. And when private equity came and tried to buy my shit during 2020 for pennies on the dollar, because they're like vultures, I told them to go fuck off. I told them to fuck off because I got this. I will sell my fucking rental properties. I will drain out bank accounts. I will figure out a way, but I will not succumb to what the opposition wants. Interestingly enough, when you have this savage mindset that you've developed through intentionally designed hardship through your life, you begin to see things like the pandemic and adversity and challenges and setbacks in your life as opportunity. Don't you forget for a moment that the Trulian Wellness Shot was created halfway through the pandemic. That was not part of our product line at Trulian. We had protein, we had grass-fed whey protein, we had plant-based protein, we had the hydration, everyday fit, right? We had the greens. We did not have a wellness shot. The wellness shot was created as a response to the world saying, look, what can we take to help build our immune system? And people were buying those little bullshit packages of emergency, and they were buying those little fucking orange I don't know what they're called, where you fucking throw the thing in the water, it fizzes and dissolves and you get 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. But what about vitamin D? What about zinc? What about echinacea? What about ginger? What about turmeric? All those things were left out. And I was like, you know what? We're going to fucking do this right. We're going to build the most amazing immune system boosting product that's good for gut health and the immune system that people can take. And that created so much money for Trulian that we were able to fund my other company, Fit Body Bootcamp, while it was limping along in 2020. And guess what? Today, it's hockey sticked. And here we are in 2023. Fit Body Bootcamp is having record-breaking quarter after quarter after quarter simply because of one thing. We were able to face the adversity face on, and we were able to actually create such momentum and inertia that when the world opened back up, Fit Body Bootcamp hockey stick. And this is what I want for you guys. I'm not shitting on you for the sake of shitting on you. I'm shitting on you for the sake of getting you off your ass to get you to do the things you need to do to build emotional, mental resiliency so you can harden the fuck up so that when the inevitable hardship comes, you can take it in strides. Instead of having it register as a 9 or a 10 on your Richter scale, it'll register like a 2 or a 3 on your Richter scale because you're like, this is nothing. I put myself through weekly fucking shit all the time. I've connected with my higher self so well that nothing can shake me. I am unshakable. I am unbreakable. And that is what I want you to become. When you are unshakable, unbreakable, and a sovereign man, you are unstoppable. And with that said, I want you to always remember that average is the enemy, that success is your responsibility, and change can take place in an instant when you decide to flip the switch. We'll see you next time.
What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.